Today on Question Period, the Prime Minister caps off 2 weeks of international diplomacy at the UN Climate Change Summit in Paris. Can Justin Trudeau convince the world he's leading the country on a path to green prosperity? And is the government striking the right balance between compassion and caution as Canada gets ready to welcome thousands of Syrian refugees?
Yes, we want to bring them fast, but we also want to do it right.
After admitting its December 31st deadline to resettle 25,000 Syrian refugees was too ambitious, the government set new goals. Bring in 10,000 by year's end, the rest before March. The most vulnerable will be given safe haven, complete families, women at risk, and sexual minorities. They'll come from UN camps in Jordan, Lebanon, and Turkey on military planes and charter flights. The rush is on to address housing, health, and schooling needs. More than 900 refugees have already been granted permanent resident visas. They're one step closer to building a new life in Canada. With me in the studio, Health Minister Jane Philpott. Hello, and thank you for coming in.
My pleasure.
So in terms of the refugees, when can we expect the influx to be arriving in Canada?
We're really excited about, as all Canadians are, about the arrival of the first wave of large wave of refugees from Syria, and we expect them within a couple of weeks.
So there's a lot of assessment and screening happening overseas on the ground in the camps. Let's talk about some of the health assessments. What are you looking for in terms of the screening?
Well, all of the refugees will be screened with a full general physical examination. It's called an international medical examination, and it's our standard, as people are welcomed to come into Canada, that they should all go through this so that we're fully aware of their health conditions. It of course looks at infectious diseases, so people will be screened, for instance, for things like tuberculosis and other infectious diseases. And it provides us the background information that's needed for their adaptation to Canada.
And so what if people were found to have tuberculosis, which we know is treatable but highly contagious, and other issues? Will some people be denied access? Will they be quarantined? How will you deal with that?
It depends at which stage in the process an identification is made in terms of an infectious disease. And as you say, most of the infectious diseases we're looking at are quite treatable, and so obviously, we wouldn't encourage people to travel if they are currently infectious. We would make sure that they get appropriate treatment. It would not lead to a denial as a cause in itself of being able to be accepted as a refugee and welcomed to Canada, but it may delay somebody's travel. And of course, as people arrive in Canada, there will be further screening, and we'll just make sure that everyone is healthy.
One of the other issues, obviously, is mental health. I mean, some of these people have been through some very traumatic experiences. What are your concerns there, and how are you dealing with that?
Well, as you've indicated, of course, these people have experienced the very difficult circumstances of conflict in Syria, and then many of them have been living in displaced areas for some time, possibly up to a couple of years, and many of them have suffered loss of family members during the war. And so all of those kinds of things obviously will potentially impact people's mental health. Having said that, my suspicion is that these people are incredibly resilient and courageous folk who have managed to endure these very difficult circumstances, and we will be impressed by their resilience, I think. Sometimes we find that it takes some time before those mental health conditions come to the surface, and so we'll need to make sure that healthcare providers in Canada are prepared for the fact that it may be even months after arrival in Canada that people will be suffering from some of the anxieties and memories that they've had of the difficulties they've been through. And so we are making sure that people are fully prepared for that, and that we'll have counseling services in place.
Some 30 cities across the country have expressed interest in bringing in refugees, but do you have any concerns about whether those cities can handle, you know, the capacity in terms of health care? The system is already stretched in many of these communities. Any worries that now with an influx of so many coming in that those communities can handle it?
It's true that the system sometimes seems to be stretched, but I have been absolutely overwhelmed with the expressions of interest that I have received. received from healthcare providers and other Canadians who are particularly interested in providing a welcoming and a safe community for these refugees. And so I believe that we are up to the task and that in fact all of the services will be in place. And as I say, we'll make sure that people get the training that they need.
But what do you do in those communities where there are doctor shortages to begin with and Canadians themselves are having problems, accessing their own health care? Now you're bringing in hundreds to some communities, potentially thousands, with that kind of influx when there's already some problems accessing doctors, for example, with Canadians themselves.
Well, as you know, in my portfolio as health minister, I am committed to making sure that Canadians receive the health care that they need. And I do acknowledge that there are places where there are shortages, and those are some of the things that I will be helping to address over my mandate. Obviously, my provincial counterparts are very much committed to making sure that all of the folks within their jurisdiction also have the health care that they need.
Well, let's talk about that now. As the health minister, one of your priorities is obviously the health of Canadians. Mm-hmm. And there is a massive doctor shortage. It's a crisis in this country. What are you going to do about that?
Well, in fact, sometimes what we need is transformation in the system, and it is true that there is sometimes a distribution issue in terms of the health workforce. There are a lot of creative things that Canadians have been doing in order to make sure that the health needs of Canadians are addressed. I've been very privileged to have worked in an interprofessional primary care setting, so that I know, as many Canadians know, that a doctor is not necessarily the health care provider that a person needs. We have an entire spectrum of healthcare providers, nurses, nurse practitioners, etc., who often can be available and to be able to do much of the care that people need. And so I think some of what I hope to be able to do in working, of course, with my provincial and territorial counterparts is to make sure that we're being smart, that we address system transformation when it's necessary, and that we do all that we can to make sure people get the care they need.
Will you be trying to attract doctors to come to communities in Canada instead of maybe even the major centers, but to the small communities? Will you be doing anything to try to encourage them?
Again, a lot of the workforce issues are the jurisdiction of my provincial counterparts and territorial counterparts, but I will work with them on those kinds of things. There are mechanisms in place that have been successful in many areas to be able to try to attract the right kind of providers to the places who are less resourced, and that will certainly be part of what I will be looking into.
And one of the other things that you're looking into is the, or at least having to deal with, is the Supreme Court's decision on physician-assisted suicide. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's a good idea to step back as a government and ask for that extension on that ruling?
Well, I'm working on that particular portfolio with my colleague who is the Minister of Justice that is taking the lead role in that, and I know that there has been consideration of asking for an extension on that.
Do you think it's a good idea?
Well, you know, one thing we need to make sure is that Canadians feel that their voices have been heard, and that's something that we've been discussing, and there are a lot of communities that have very strong and thoughtful opinions about the issue, and I am committed to making sure that Canadians feel that we've heard their voices, that we make the wisest decision going forward.
You've done very well in not answering my question as a new health minister, so we still don't know if you're going to ask for the extension.
You know what, that actually falls into the jurisdiction of the Minister of Justice, and so I don't want to speak on her behalf, but I can certainly tell you that it's something that we have discussed.
That's wonderful. Okay, thanks for coming in. I really appreciate it. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Just to provide, quite frankly, the things that I think each of us would want for our own families.
And cities big and small will be rolling out the welcome mat for refugees, but are they ready? And who foots the bill?
They're going to have to put some resources in at the federal level, and I identified housing as being one of the big issues we're all going to have to work on.
Joining me from Kitchener, Mayor Barry Verbanovich, and in Halifax, Mayor Mike Savage. Mayor Verbanovich, you're taking in over 1,000 refugees, at least in the Waterloo region. That's a lot for a city your size, for a region that size. How are you preparing for the influx?
You know what, we've got a comprehensive community plan that's being developed that involves all 7 municipalities, our regional government, as well as many community and social service organizations. So they've been meeting for a number of weeks now, looking at the various issues that need to be addressed. And we're confident that when the refugees start arriving, Waterloo Region will welcome them with open arms.
And do you have any sense of when they will be arriving and where you're going to house them?
So some of those details are still being worked out. I can tell you out of the approximately 1,150 that are coming to our region, we're told about 850 will be government sponsored and 300 will be privately sponsored ones. And my understanding is at least in the December numbers, we're likely to see more of the privately sponsored ones coming forward.
Mayor Savage, your province has now indicated it will take in about 1,500 refugees. Halifax, as the capital, will no doubt handle the majority. Are you ready?
Yeah, I think we're ready. This is not a circumstance where you can sort of, open the doors and people come in and everything is all organized. We're reacting to a crisis. The government is moving as quickly as they can. FCM and cities like Halifax and Kitchener and others are moving as quickly as we can. And, you know, it may not be 100% perfect, but there's a great mobilization of effort in Halifax and also in other communities in Nova Scotia to say what are the challenges that we need to face and how do we deal with them. There's a meeting next week on housing, for example, where are we going to house them. We have a plan that our city council has adopted on things like transit and recreation and working with our local partnership and the local settlement association. So, I think it's time. It's, you know, if you wait for perfect, we'll never do it. But let's make life better for these people. And I think it'll also be very good for Canada.
You know, there is some concern that a lot of communities, by way of housing, by way of health care, even education, class sizes, for example, that the systems are already stretched. Do you have some concerns that now you may be putting more pressure onto a system that's already under pressure?
Well, our systems are under pressure, but if you look at the numbers, Laurie, I think 25,000 refugees, 10,000 in the first intake by the end of the year, many of them privately sponsored and dispersed around the country, that's a number that's manageable. When you look at the people who are coming here and what they have now, they don't have very much. So I think there's a great willingness on behalf of everybody, you know, whether it's going to be, you know, governments, whether it's private sector organizations, churches, community groups, housing organizations. People are going to make sure that we do this the way that we should do this, which is in their best interests as the people who are coming to Canada and also on behalf of the communities. I think we can do it.
Mayor Verbanovich, what about you? Is there any concern in terms of putting extra pressure on a system that's, even when you look at health care, a lot of people don't even have doctors. A lot of Canadians don't. And many of these refugees are going to need serious health care attention. Any concerns there?
You know, Laurie, our region has a long history of welcoming refugees during various times of crisis. I think back to when the Vietnamese boat people came, I think during the war in the former Yugoslavia when we received a large number of refugees. And I believe this will be a similar set of circumstances now. Obviously there's going to be some challenges, but we're talking about, you know, people who desperately need some help. And Canada has always been well regarded for being able to stand forward and really be a caring nation. And, I know that the Federation of Canadian Municipalities, cities across our country have really been working together in an unprecedented manner with the other two orders of government, the provinces and the federal government, to make sure that when they do start arriving in our communities, we're going to be as ready as possible. On Tuesday, we know the Governor General's hosting an event at Rideau Hall with municipal, provincial, and federal leaders as well. And I think, you know, all of that planning and coordination is ultimately going to lead to a good end result.
I mean, one of the things that that also may be required is just some support on your own municipal budgets. I know that you go to the provinces to the federal government, but since you are all going to be gathering on Tuesday, what is it that you need from the federal government by way of just financial support? Mayor Savage?
Well, I think we need to know the certainty of where the money is going to come from, what money is available. I fully expect that provinces and also municipalities will have to look at their own budgets, keeping in mind that not only are we looking at this as a humanitarian exercise, but we're also bringing people to this country who, in my view, in short order, will be contributing to the economy and our communities and doing very well. The history of immigrants to Canada, whether they come with money or whether they come with nothing but a desire for a better life, is that they contribute very quickly. And so I think that this is something that is going to pay off not only from a humanitarian and compassionate point of view, but from a growth point of view in our communities. And I think I think most people understand that.
Mayor Verbanovich, you'll be at that meeting Tuesday, as you mentioned. What are you asking for? What do you need?
You know, really, I think what we want to do is hear what are some of the best practice ideas from other municipalities and community organizations around the country so we can adopt those and not reinvent the wheel, and see how we can best support each other in the coming months to make sure that this is as welcoming of an environment as possible. Without a doubt, we have to work through some of those financial